Jared, when you think about multiple slam winners from this country, you could probably count them on one hand, particularly recently. Sam Stosur is one of those. We know that she won the US Open back in 2011, a finalist at the French Open in 2010, and the slams that she won in the doubles was massive as well. A winner of four of those and was world number one for the best part of a year. In fact, 61 consecutive weeks and world number four in the singles. One of the greatest tennis players that Australia has produced has been good enough to join us live, Jared.
Indeed. Welcome to you, Sam, and congratulations. The career has come to a close, but it was a fantastic journey, and thanks for everything you did for Australian tennis.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it was, I guess, quite a ride for the last 20 years playing 20 AOs, that's for sure. So not completely done yet with doubles, but yeah, this is certainly a big part of my career that's come to a close. But yeah, very happy with what I've been able to achieve.
Can we deal with doubles? Because it's been the topic of the evening to date. Kyrgios and Thanasi Kokkinakis have breathed life into it. Are you sad that it's sort of dropped off its importance at slams? And can you see it coming back?
Oh, look, I think it's funny because I think so many people actually really enjoy watching doubles. Yep. Most people, socially at least, play doubles. It's a terrific part of tennis that I don't think really gets quite enough, airtime, I guess you could say. But look, when singles players are playing, that's really, you know, that's what's going to keep driving it. But you can have there's amazing doubles-only players out there. But yeah, obviously with the likes of Thanasi and Nick doing so well in the men's doubles at the moment. How exciting. They're in the semis. They could be Grand Slam champions in doubles. So I think it's absolutely worth, you know, gunning for.
So why did it fall apart? Well, I mean, McEnroe played a lot of doubles. Willander played lots of doubles. Lots of Boris Becker played doubles. All the guns used to play, and yet it fell apart. I mean, the Williams sisters played doubles together for a long time.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I mean, you had, I think, even Lindsay Davenport, Kim Clijsters. One or both of those may have even been number one in the world in doubles and singles at the same time. Hinger, same thing. So, I mean, it wasn't too long ago that everyone was playing doubles, but I think at the way tennis has gone with how physical it is and obviously with how much money is involved, especially in the singles side of things, it is hard to play both. I stopped playing doubles for a little while when I was doing really well in singles just because it's hard to back up, play two matches in a day and all the extra time at the courts to really, you know, be prepared for your singles. So there's different reasons why different people, you know, choose not to play. But I think if you're healthy and fit and, you know, can do it for the most part, why not?
Sam, can we ask you about Ash playing tonight and specifically about her opponent in Jess Pegula, who's been in really good form? I mean, maybe it's just the negativity in me that I'm worried for Ash tonight. This is a danger match. Jared doesn't agree, but how do you see tonight playing out?
Oh, look, I think, yeah, Jess is definitely a quality player. She hits a big ball. It's so flat. You can almost read the AO little symbol on the tennis ball as it crosses the net, whereas Ash plays with a lot more spin on her forehand. So, you know, sometimes that's actually quite hard to deal with, hitting off a really flat ball. And she's got a very experienced coach. So, you know, I think it could be a real danger for Ash tonight, but obviously, hopefully she can get through it. And I know obviously all of Australia is going to be behind her. So yeah, let's wait and see what happens, but hopefully Ash can get through.
You played 69 Grand Slam main draw appearances, Sam. Most of any Australian player, man or woman.
It's a lot of slams, Jared.
It's a lot of slams.
It's a lot of slams.
It's a lot of matches. And yet I suspect as you move into retirement and middle age and old age, you'll be probably asked mainly about one. And that's the victory against Serena. Can you give us in brief what you're going to tell us in 10 years' time when you're asked? Tell us about that victory.
Oh, look, that was obviously a dream come true, winning that match. But I said it earlier today to someone. It's one of those matches where the night before, once I got myself into the final and, you know, got back to the hotel and was thinking about the next day and everything that was going to happen, I just had this sense I was going to win. And I don't know why I was so certain or so confident or whatever, but I just had this feeling I could do it. And I said, you know, I wish I had that feeling more times in my career. Yeah. It would have been pretty good to go into every match feeling like that. But look, it was obviously an amazing day. It was a huge 2 weeks for me, but yeah, that was an absolute dream come true.
So did you beat up on yourself a bit too much, do you think, through the journey?
Oh, look, not necessarily. I mean, obviously, you got to, you know, you always want more, and you're trying to always, you know, be better and improve and get the most out of yourself. And I think there were certainly some times where I was pretty hard on myself and can be a bit of a perfectionist. So it's, I think it that comes with being a sports person. I think there's a few of us like that. But look, I think when you're in it, it's pretty hard to sometimes appreciate what you've been able to do, because you're always looking for that next thing. But you know, now that it's done, I can look back and really be proud of what I've achieved, and you know, feel really good about things.
When you emerged as a player, a young player, most women hit the ball flat. I mean, that was just the way it was taught. Everyone was looking for speed rather than for spin, and yet you may well have been, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, my understanding is if you weren't the first, you were very close to it, the first female to put heavy topspin on the ball, both with your serve and with your groundies.
Yeah, I just always loved playing that way, and I guess I have got a kind of an extreme grip on my forehand, and was able to use that as a big weapon as the years went on. And you know, once I learned how to put all my game together and use my weapons as weapons, then it all kind of fell into place. So yeah, the heavy forehand, I like slicing my backhand, and you know, trying to move forward wherever possible. But yeah, it's just the way I, you know, the way my game grew. And I guess, yeah, not too many players typically play like that on the women's side. So it was always a bit of a unique prospect for my opponents, I guess.
So what's the Sam Stosur that's not a tennis player going to look like for the next 50 years?
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm still playing, I'm still going to play some doubles this year, but albeit a modified kind of schedule compared to what I'm used to. But yeah, look, I'm happy to stay home, have a bit more of a normal life without as much travel, look after my daughter. You know, that'll keep me busy, I'm sure. So yeah, I'm happy just to chill out for a little bit. And but yeah, no matter what happens after this year, I'm still going to be involved in tennis. I love the sport too much to completely walk away. In you know, I'll find something to do in it for sure.
One final one, Sam. You mentioned the slice, and you're a great exponent of the slice. Do you think that Ash Barty will bring the Europeans who grow up on clay mainly, do you think they will need to learn how to slice and how to react to slice, given she potentially is going to use it as a dominant force in a dominant era?
Oh, definitely. I think her slice backhand is, it's going to sound stupid saying the best of the world, because she is the best in the world. You know, it's not a shot that gets used, I think, enough in tennis. And again, combined with her big, heavy forehand with the topspin, she absolutely knifes her slice backhand. So you're going from one extreme to the other, hitting a ball, you know, around your shoulders to one below your knees on the next one when she slices it. And she can disguise it really well. She can hit it deep, hit it short, and she uses it to set up her weapon, which is her forehand, and it plays very smart tennis with that. And you know, a lot of players don't like it, so I think it's absolutely a part of her tennis that, you know, wins her a huge amount of matches.
Sam, thanks so much for coming on. Congratulations, and thank you for everything you've done for Australian tennis, and good luck in the doubles and whatever the rest of life brings past that.
Cool. Thanks, guys.